This week on All My Children, All My Children goes out with a bang. Get it? Bang! All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
The great and the least, the rich and the poor, the weak and the strong, the sickness and in health, in joy and sorrow, in tragedy and triumph. We are all your children.
Ashley Mendoza.
For me, it was Green Meat and Leo because I remembered how good it was. How good it was when every day I would run home to see their love.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson. I grew up on All My Children. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. I grew up on All My Children. All My Children has been a part. My mother's very upset. You know, it's so funny because we were so mad at times and we're like freaking canceled and stuff. And I just never, ever thought that ABC would do this.
I don't like coming out here to you people about a show that we grew up with, that we really, truly, in our hearts love, and just bitching and moaning about it. It's not fun.
He said if it wasn't for Ruth and Joe, I wouldn't be here. And he goes, and I wouldn't have the greatest big brother. And it was such a beautiful scene. And that was All My Children. That was All My Children.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your host, Jordan Hudson.
This is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending September 30th, 2011. And it's our first wrap-up since the show ended on September 23rd.
Yes. And that sound you hear is the elevator train. We are doing this podcast for you underneath the L train in the Bronx.
That's right.
Because this is where we found parking.
We found parking. And let me tell you, I found this parking spot, and not 1 second later, two people tried to park, thought I was leaving, and tried to park.
I know.
So this is prime parking.
Prime parking, girl. I mean, we're right across the street from my alma mater, my college that I graduated from.
It's a beautiful campus.
It's a beautiful campus.
Well, before we start, I have to thank Luis.
I know that.
Louis 2K.
You outdid yourself, Mr. Man. That intro made me cry.
I was telling her
that I wanted to do. We had to do the Munchies and Bones. I was like, and there you had it already in there. That's where it started.
This man must have the patience of a saint because he listens to all our podcasts.
I know he obviously listens to all podcasts. He always gets like the best snippets and
stuff.
He makes us sound so much better than we really are.
He makes us actually sound like we know what we're doing.
Like, I know, like we're really like he's like our Gelman. There you go.
There you go.
You don't know who Gelman is, do you?
I do. He's from Kelly Ripa Show.
Oh, yeah, you do. I like the way you call it the Kelly Ripa Show, because that's what it is now.
That's what it is now. And it better not be the Kelly Ripa and Jordan Hudson show.
It should be the Kelly Ripa and Jordan Hudson. I don't think anybody from All My Children listens to our podcast. I wish Kelly Ripa would listen to our podcast.
Then she'd be like,
I need that Queen Jordan on my side.
Our other host, Shadow, swears that people from All My Children listen. I bet you Crystal does, Bobby Eakes, and I bet you Amanda Chriselle Stiles does. I bet you they do. And to both of y'all, we love you.
Do you think Brianna Mongrief used to listen up?
I hope not, because she would honestly, I think she would have jumped off a bridge right now if she had, by now, if she had listened.
Oh, poor Brianna Mongrief.
Poor Mongrief.
I missed that, Brianna Mongrief.
I miss a lot of stuff. I miss a lot of stuff.
Well,
I miss all my children.
I miss all my children too.
My days have been empty. Well, you know what I keep thinking about?
What?
I used to have such a backlog of All My Children, and I used to put on my DVR and always see all these episodes that I had to catch up on. There's nothing on there now, except I taped the classic ones on SoapNet from the weddings.
Girl.
Those were good.
Oh, I thought you were talking about what started the other night.
Those are not real classics.
I like the fact they call it classic, it's like three, four years ago.
Yeah, it's really not.
It's not even that from that. And then the other thing, too, is this is all from the Brian Franz era. He's so egotistical that he thinks that his tenure as the head of ABC Daytime is considered classic.
People don't think that's no coincidence. I'm telling you right now, that is no coincidence. Jordan Hudson is absolutely right. Hit the nail on the head. The man is such a freaking narcissist and such a freaking pig-headed, selfish bastard that he wouldn't even dare to air episodes from other eras when he wasn't the head of Daytime.
I'm going to tell you, because I did, before we go into talking about the last final week of All My Children, the weekend before was amazing. On Saturday, they had the I Love Lucci marathon where they show all these Erica episodes.
I was taping with you that night.
I know, we were taping that night. And then Sunday, they had the wedding episodes.
I caught those.
Which, let me tell you something. I'm not going to lie. Cliff and Nina was the first one up, and I cried. I was just like, oh, my God, my Cliff and Nina. But girl, the next hour with Greg and Jenny, I lost it.
But tell them what you told me about even the Cliff and Nina episode, because there was so much meat to even...
Yeah.
Like, you would think a wedding between Cliff and Nina would be enough, but it wasn't.
It wasn't.
There was so much in that episode.
There was so much going on. Especially the Greg and Jenny episode, there was so much else going on. There were more storylines going on. Both episodes had the freaking entire cast on each episode, and everybody had airtime. Everybody has something to do. It was so well written how all these like you really had a feeling that all these people lived together, and that was, you know, part of the problem. Like when Megan McTavish was writing the show, was that you see the same four people every episode.
But can I tell you what was so delicious for me is that I totally forgot that Cliff had gotten Sybil pregnant.
How could you forget? That's Bobby's mother. Bobby Warner's Sybil's son.
I know, because I'm crazy. I got
Oh, my God. I live for that storyline.
And that was just such a good storyline.
She was such a good actress. Linda Gibbony, who played Sybil. She was such a nightmare. You know, she was the original Gina on Santa Barbara. And then I don't know why she left.
She was on Ryan's Hope. Wasn't she?
No.
No, she wasn't?
No.
Oh, I thought you told me.
Robin Mattson was on Ryan's Hope. Robin Mattson played Gina after Linda Gibbony left. But Linda Gibbony was the original Gina. I loved her Gina, too.
Gotcha.
I mean, but Linda, she was a psychopath as Sybil.
Mm-hmm.
Sybil Thorne. And
but
Aggie.
That's why you loved
Aggie,
her.
I got to tell you, I love the way good soap opera character names are so important. And they don't make those names the way they used to. Sybil Thorne. What kind of name is that? Sybil Thorne.
That's
I love
name.
It.
Thorne.
Aggie.
Perfect name.
Agnes Nixon knew how to create some
names. And Erica Kane. C-A-I-N or K-A-N.
No, K-A-N-E.
No, I know, but I'm referring to the biblical Kane. Perfect.
Yeah, it's just Sybil, she was such a bitch. But I lost it. I mean, I cry for Cliff and Nina, but I lost it with the Greg and Jenny episode because so much, I forgot what a stuck-up bitch Erica used to be. Did you see when she got there and she sat down with Mona and poor Mrs. Gonzalez was like, oh, Mrs. Kane, how are you? How are you? Remember me? And she just turned around. She looked at her. She goes, I don't know you.
Beautiful.
She goes, do I know you? And then when she realized who she was like, she just truly got up, walked away, and went somewhere else to sit. And even Mona was like, Erica? She couldn't believe how rude. And then Erica goes up to sit next to Phoebe, and Phoebe's looking at her, and Erica's all glammed up for this daytime wedding. She's dressed like if she's going to a funeral. She has a black veil. She's all in dark colors. I'm like, what is wrong with her? And Phoebe looks at her. Phoebe's just like, oh, Erica, it's so nice to see that you dressed up for Jenny's wedding. And she goes, yeah, well, I'm getting really tired of getting dressed for Jenny's weddings. I was on the floor. I fell off my sofa. I was laughing my ass off. I said, that's the Erica I used to know. What a stuck-up, snobby bitch.
Absolutely.
but her line delivery and the way,
Erica.
Oh, those days were fabulous, girl. That whole episode, All My Children with Greg and Jenny, the scenes with Greg and his mother were so touching. Because, you know, his mother was a biatch, too. And, you know, and then just seeing...
I love when he put his mother, the times that he put his mother in her place, Greg.
Yeah.
He did. I live for those moments.
Mother! And let me tell you, how hot was he? Oh, my God. You don't understand.
I think he still looks pretty good. I thought he looks good
still,
on The View.
We'll get to him on The View still. But you don't understand. I think out of all everybody that has ever been on All My Children, my biggest crush has always been Larry Law. If Larry Law was gay, I'd marry him even now, even the way he did, because he still looks freaking hot as hell.
He does. I think he does.
I think he looks smoking hot. I would do him in a second. I wish that he was gay. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I... Because, you know, when I started doing the paparazzi stuff was when him and Kim were still on the show. So I used to see him and take pictures of him. And I was like the only little Latin queen from the Bronx. I was so in love with him. I was like, I wanted to marry Greg Nelson when I grew up. Aww. I was like, I follow Larry Law. I took pictures of him. He had a hat that he used to wear. And I actually went out and got the same kind of hat that he had. That's how, like, I was such, like, a geek. Like, I was so in love with this boy. Like, he just did not know. I thought he was, like, just everything about him was, like, so perfect. I wanted to be Jenny.
So what do you want to be when you grow up, Jordan?
I want to be Jenny Nelson.
Jenny Gardner.
But I don't want to get on no little, like...
Jet ski.
I don't want to get a jet ski. But like that episode also had one of my favorite, one of Marcy Walker's final storylines as Liza, because she left shortly after, was when she found out about Tad and Marion, and she lost it, and she was going around town sleeping with anybody and getting drunk, and she got attacked and beaten up. And I forgot that was all going on at the same time as Greg and Jenny's wedding.
How brilliant is that? That these two characters are having their ultimate dream moment while Liza is having her absolute downfall.
Yeah.
And partially, I'm not going to say because of Greg, it's because of Liza, but she was desperately in love with Greg. So while he and Jenny are having their sort of just desserts, finally getting together. Poor Liza.
She's paying for what she did.
She's really
paying. Because let me tell you something. Liza did some...
Brilliant freaking writing right there.
Liza did some hideous
things. It's Shakespearean, people.
Liza did some hideous thing back in the day. She really did. And she accused...
She was mean. She accused
Jesse of raping her. That's why Jesse had to go on the run with Jenny to New York, because Liza swore. And, you know, and now, well, still in some places now it's bad. But back then, the fact that this black man raped this blonde white girl in a small town like Pine Valley back then, that was some scandal.
We're talking
Peyton Place. Very Peyton Place.
No kidding.
So Liza did some... I just was in awe of that episode.
I don't want to change the subject, but when Angie started dating Cliff.
Oh, my God.
Oh, stop it. That's that criminal.
Oh, he's hot, girl.
When Angie started dating Greg, Cliff, he got hate letters
from
fans.
And she did, too, yeah.
And she did, too.
And it's so sad, because I liked when they put Angie with Cliff. I really did. I thought Debbie Morgan and Peter Bergman had some chemistry. And lo and behold, what I told you that I knew who Debbie Morgan was going
to
be on Young and the Restless, and I was right.
Who's she on?
She's going to be that adopted black boy's mother, his biological mother. So she
had him. I don't know nothing about no Young and the Restless. All I know
Stephen Nichols. Stephen Nichols, who played Patch on Days of Our Lives, him and Debbie Morgan. So Angie and Patch had a kid in Genoa City. Girl, Young and the Restless has Swirl. General Hospital has Swirl. What is daytime coming to? They're like, we're an endangered species. We're going to do whatever it takes to get the ratings in. Gays, lesbians, swirl.
I never heard that term, swirl.
What, swirl? Yeah, girl. Get your swirl on.
I'm eating a banana. Would you like a bite?
No.
It's a good banana.
Is it Tropicana? Not Tropicana. Is it Chiquita?
No, it's organic.
I love... Girl, you an organic. I love me some Chiquita banana.
I'm an organic
banana.
Puerto Rican.
Nah. That's like... Now, look at her outfit. Look at her outfit. What is up with that? Oh, I want to see. God. Can you see what it says?
This bitch bites or something like that.
That's so ghetto.
It literally says that.
That is so ghetto.
She's real big, too.
What is that outfit?
I believe that she would eat me.
I wish you people could see it.
I think she ate someone
this morning. What, is that see-through? Is those bottoms see-through?
Oh, poor thing.
Oh.
She got the dimple butt. She needs your training.
Dimple, girl. Those are boulders.
Oh,
those are dimple.
No. Listen, this is what I think we should do. I think we should talk about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Right.
The ultimate.
That's the way I always thought we should do the podcast, but you never wanted to do it that way. So let's do it that way.
Sure.
Our final time, I'll get to do it the way I think we should have done it. All right. Monday was the Hubbards.
Always the critic.
Monday was the Hubbards.
Loved it. Tuesday was the Cades. Liked it. Wednesday was the
Martins.
Loved it.
Thursday was the Chandlers. Loved it.
Loved it.
Friday was the
Alley.
Loved it.
effing loved it.
Effing loved it.
Even
okay.
though the ending was, I still
no,
effing loved it.
No, I disagree, but we'll get to that.
Still effing loved it.
Is he peeing?
Come on.
Oh, no, he's not peeing. All right. So, anyway.
I'm trying to eat my banana.
The first episode, Monday, we started out with the Hubbards.
Hubbards.
And I got to tell you, just like I suspected, Darnell brought it. He brought his A game. That was the Darnell Jesse that we loved. I mean, when he found out that Angie could see, he was crying, I was crying. It was fabulous. It was amazing.
And it was the right choice because I was afraid that because Jesse did such an awful thing, that the writers were going to try to hold him accountable or Angie holds him accountable. As in real life, she actually might. But I don't know. I was glad. I thought it was the right choice to have them become closer because of it, not further apart.
Right. And we got
they
to see...
They ended in love, and I'm so thrilled about
and
that.
We got to see Randy and Frankie.
I didn't mind Randy in the Hubbards episode.
Well, I'm going to tell
and
you...
And I liked Natalia.
I'm going to tell
you... I love the
you.
Actress, by the way. She's a beautiful lady. You don't love her?
Who?
The actress that plays Natalia? I care for her.
She
I don't know why.
She doesn't bother me.
I still don't buy her as part of the All My Children canvas.
No, I don't like the character.
Fine. I don't like the character.
It's kind of like that baby.
I like
thing.
The actress.
Like,
I
the actress
do.
Doesn't bother do. Me. She's not horrendous. She's not the most hideous. Look, I'll put it this way so you guys can understand what I'm talking about. She's no Denise Vassia, right? I'm not going to lie.
She has some talent.
She has some ability. She's no Tika.
No, she ain't Tika.
She ain't my girl Tika, that's for sure. But she's not bad. No, she's good.
It's her
character that I hate.
I know, I agree.
Where with Randy, I wouldn't mind a hooker with a heart of gold. But Denise Vassy has no talent.
But it also was not written. That character was not written
Who?
Like Donna or like, you know, Estelle.
I know, but girl,
those
the
were,
only
those
thing
were
that Denise,
real
look,
three-dimensional
the
people.
The only thing that Denise Vassy had going for her were those bangs.
They weren't even real. They was a weave.
That was not a weave, girl. She's Dominican. That's her real hair.
I don't buy it. Don't believe it for a second.
That's her real hair. And let me tell you something. There's one thing Dominicans know how to do, besides play loud music, is do hair. They know how to do hair. Hair and have sex. Speaking of which.
The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of its producers. So if you're going to slash someone's tires, let it be Jordan Hudson's, not Ashley's.
Speaking of which, look at them out there.
Come on. Don't be pointed at the Dominicans.
Oh, my God. You know what I feel like? I feel like we're in an episode of The Walking Dead on AMC, that zombie thing, except we're here trapped and there's just Dominicans everywhere.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. Dominicans everywhere. Run. They're going to eat
so
us.
It was a nice thing. And even I could even stomach that Maya coming back to the family. I just thought it was a really nice way to end
look,
the show.
Considering that a lot of these characters I really never liked or cared for, I still felt very invested in the Hubbards and that. And let me tell you something. By the time that end scene came, where they were all there as a family and mm-hmm. Angie wanted to take a photo, and I lost it. I was a crying mess. And this was before the montage even started. I didn't even know they were going to be that clever to do a montage.
I was just
so cut up in this family moment. And I think it was Natalia's... What did she call her? Oh, I wish I would have wrote it down. She called her something fierce. Something like Earth Mother or Goddess or something. She said that about Angie. She goes, here comes the goddess or something. And it just was so real and so believable. Like, I believed that this was a family. And... when Angie was just smiling and looking at them and the montage started, girl, I was a mess. I was a mess then. I lost
me right
it. I was
afterward.
Like, I couldn't control myself because they did it right. They showed the old clips of Jesse and Angie. And then it worked when they show like Randy and Frankie's old clips, like, and they show Brat and Natalia. Like I felt very invested in all of these people. And I'm going to say this right now, and I told you this too. If this one person, look, so far, we got two people signed to Park Avenue or whatever they're called.
Prospect Park,
All My Children Online. Kara, who I'm actually glad about because I really do think that you can build a new family with the Castillos. Sadly, the other person is the one person that I wish wasn't coming back. Cameron Matheson. Cameron Matheson, who would show up to the opening of a toilet if he was invited, because that's how desperate he is to work.
Come on.
No, I don't. Look, That's the one person that I don't want back, and he signed. And but the one I was telling her, I really hope that J.R. Martinez comes on as Brock.
I feel guilty. Listen, I have to say, I feel really guilty about being hard on Cameron about that. You know why? Because he's got a family. Come on now. The guy needs to work. He's an actor. He wants to work. Actors work.
Then let him continue with Good Morning America.
That's not acting.
I don't watch that. Well, you know what? Neither's what he does on All My Children.
Oh, no.
You walked right into that one, girl. Let me tell you. So anyway, I really hope that J.R. Martinez comes on as Brock, because I have grown. Look, even though I don't feel like they've really given him what I would have given him if I was a head writer, I still think that he has grown so much as an actor. He is so charming. He's created this incredible character that obviously is based on him and his personality. And I love it and I buy it. And I would love to see him really be given real storylines. And really, because let me tell you something. Even when he was working opposite that hideous Beth Ellers, he still brought it.
Yeah.
He still brought it, and that's why
he's not gone.
He's not
a professional, you see.
I know, and that's why.
That's what she said. That bitch.
That biatch.
I actually really hated her for saying that. I thought that was really bitchy. But you know what?
Who's working and who isn't?
That's right.
Exactly.
And who's a big star now?
And who's on Dancing with the Stars? And I heard he's doing
not
really
you,
good.
Not you, Beth Ellis, with your skinny white ass.
My parents are rooting for him. They're loving him.
He did the best job, and he got shit because they said he did a Lindy. F you, old man. He didn't do no Lindy. He did a job, and he did it better than anybody on that dance floor that night. He was fantastic.
There you go.
Fantastic.
So I'm hoping that J.R. Martinez comes. So that was the Monday episode. We loved it. We give it 2 thumbs up. I was crying for Jesse.
My only pet peeve, which has always been my pet peeve, there's no way the Hubbards should still have been living in that apartment. The Hubbards need a home. They need a
home.
Girl,
it's very good
home.
Times.
Really is.
I know. I know. What is up with that still living in that apartment?
I would say Jefferson's more than good times. Because good times were poor.
But girl, really.
It's a nice
He's the head of the police department. She's the head of the hospital. This is all they could afford. You could afford a house. Go rent your mother's house again.
Seriously.
Where is Pat Baxter?
Oh, I would have loved to have seen her. Anyway.
She's back at Electric Company.
Then we had Tuesday.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Tuesday was my least favorite episode. I honestly, guys, like Morales in a chorus line, I felt nothing with Tuesday's episode. I was so disappointed because after Monday's episode was kind of a letdown. I felt nothing. I didn't.
There's a reason, and you know what that is.
Cameron Matheson.
No. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cameron Matheson and Rebecca Budding.
Oh, no. The reason why you didn't feel nothing is because instead of being able to have flashbacks, because the majority of the Kane's, a lot of the meat of the Kane family experience came when Eden Regal played Bianca. And they could not put those flashbacks. They had the wedding.
Yeah.
And they like blurred her face a little bit. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a crane shot or something.
Yeah.
And they blurred her face. And so they had these monologues. They had like the Kane women and Zach give monologues. And that's always tough.
Yeah.
I thought Susan Lucci did a great job with her monologues because she's so comfortable just being on that camera, being in front of that camera by herself. But I thought the others had trouble. Although I thought Zach did pretty well. He made it pretty natural.
There's a drug dealer from my building, girl.
All right, fine. Just don't point at him. Please. Please.
That little kid. Oh, I can't stand him. Like, what is he doing around here? Oh, God. Anyway.
Maybe he's Lehman College customers.
Oop.
Anyway.
So I'm gonna have to say something else. It wasn't just Eden. Alicia. I mean, yes, Alicia's played the role longer, but they couldn't show any flashbacks of when Kendall first appeared in Erica's life because she didn't play the role.
You're right about that. That's true.
So I think that was also something that because you're talking about all this past history, but yet you can't show anything, really.
I did start to cry when they showed Bianca as anorexic because I didn't watch during that time. And I started to cry because I can't imagine what it must feel like. I'm going to cry now for a mother if your daughter's not feeding herself, if she, you know, hates herself that much.
Well, that's how she got the award.
I know. Oh, I'm going to cry. That's how, so good.
That's how Susan got her Emmy finally because of those scenes.
So good.
And that little girl, like,
they showed life, her, like, with the bags in her eyes. She got
you know thin. That actress in real life, like blasted Susan Lucci and said, you never, she never even said thank you, and it's because of me that she won her Emmy.
Well, that's kind of shitty.
That little Bianca's kind of crazy, that little girl.
Yeah, that's pretty shitty. That's not, it's not because of her.
She was playing, she was in the Diary
Nobody
of Anne
gets an
Frank.
Emmy because of what the other person opposite them does.
Insane.
I'm not saying they don't help, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a feeble attempt. It was a feeble attempt at her, in her, like her managers and agents' advisors to try to get more publicity, and it backfired because we never heard from this girl again.
It's pathetic. You don't do that. You be gracious and you say I've loved working with her and I'm so glad to have been a part of the storyline that won Susan her Emmy. Ta da! That's why I should be a movie star because I got diplomacy skills.
Okay.
I'm diplomatic.
You're something-matic. I don't know if it's diplomatic, but you're matic, girl.
You're matic. So Tuesday
was a for me, really.
Okay.
Like, there hasn't been enough time for me to be that much invested in our new lesbians. I mean, you know what I mean? Like
Christina Lynn Bennett.
I don't know. Tuesday, I didn't feel...
She's a nice actress. Also, and if you listen, girl, you a nice actress. You did a nice job with the role, but I'm not just, you know, it's just tough.
All I'm saying is Eden's free now.
Listen.
Eden's free now. Why not fire
her? I just thanked the lady for listening to our podcast, and then you go talking about hiring her nemesis.
Not her nemesis. Her predecessor. What's
a nemesis?
What happened to being Matic? That's not very Matic.
Oh, sorry. Diplomatic.
That's not very
Matic. Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing.
What?
We talked about this.
What?
The one thing I really wanted to see on that show that we couldn't see.
What?
One of my favorite episodes of All My Children ever was when Kendall goes to Bianca and tells her that she understands why she wants to have an abortion. After Bianca got raped by Michael, whatever his name is, she was going to have an abortion. She was feeling mixed about it. She was thinking that she should. And Kendall at first was like, what are you thinking? What are you doing? And then she went to her sister and she held her tight and said, it's okay. I understand. I'm going to cry. This is one of the most beautiful scenes I've ever seen between two women on All My Children. And we couldn't see that. So that hurt.
It did. A lot hurt. Also, plus, I also am not, I don't really care for Ryan and Greenlee as a couple. I really don't care as Zach and Kendall as a couple. So the fact that they were focusing on these couples that I didn't care about.
Who are you talking about?
You know who I'm talking about. And then also the fact, again, that our new lesbian couple, I mean, I didn't dislike them. I mean, we were rooting for them at the beginning, but they got lost in the fact that the show was ending. You know what I mean? It was just like, all right, they're a couple, now just accept them.
Yeah.
We didn't really, like, it wasn't like Otalia where we grew to love them as they grew to love
Otalia
each other.
Was such a beautiful progression.
Oh, for those of you who don't know. Atalia from, we're talking about Atalia from Guiding Light, the first GLT super couple, because they were before Kish.
Yeah. What were their names individually? Natalia
and Olivia.
And Olivia. It was a beautiful, beautiful progression.
So, like,
I just remember that one episode where one of them was in the hospital.
Yeah.
And the other one was so desperately in love with her and really hadn't expressed it or felt free to express it. And she just held her hand.
Yeah.
And just looked at her with such love. And then as soon as the woman woke up.
Yeah.
I don't remember who was
they
who,
never,
but
they
it
never,
just was, I just could cry about it. It was such a beautiful exchange.
They never got to Atalia Kish level for
and
me.
They didn't. They were cute, but then they were also cute. Written cutesy, like silly, like.
Well, I don't think it was silly. I think it was just a matter of, again,
you don't
have that much time.
It was too goody-goody. It wasn't like a real, you know what I mean?
So like, for me, and then all those damn kids running around.
I know
the show's called All My Children, but really, somebody took it too literally. Girl,
although,
I was like, there were too many kids around. I felt like I was watching Rapper Room. I was just like, I wanted Susan Lucci to go, and I see, do I see Joshua and Jacob and Monfongo and Chai Wing and. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was, like, come on. There were a lot of kids running around that freaking apartment. I was just like,
oh God.
So let's move away from that because that episode bored me. Wednesday was intense for me because that was the episode, wait for the train to pass. Oh, God.
Well, it was also, it's like the middle of the week. So we got like three more episodes at this point. And as each day went by, my stomach got funnier and funnier.
Well, Wednesday was, they started the episode with Michael Knight saying that they were dedicating this episode to Mary Fickett. For those of you again who don't know from our last podcast, was the original roof of Martin, and she passed away. So right there, already, I was a wreck. You know, because usually they do that at the end of an episode. They don't normally do stuff like that at the beginning.
I'm so happy they did.
So it was very respectful. It was a very much a tribute.
She was like the mother not that I don't love. You guys met Mommy Gloria. I adore Mommy Gloria. But, like, she was like the ideal. You know what I mean? Like, she was like, she felt like my mother. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't explain it.
The same way Grandma Kate felt like everybody's grandma.
Everybody's grandmother. That's right.
I mean, Agnes, again, the power of a good writer who creates really great characters.
Absolutely.
So that already started the episode off for me because I was just like a mess. I was like, oh my God, here we go. Here we go. You know? And, of course, we're treated to all this incredible Martin love as Dixie and Tad, you know, are talking about the future. And
well, their first meeting in the dress shop.
Yes, you know.
At Myrtle's,
and they show flashbacks, and we're just there. And then all of a sudden, everybody's worrying about, you know, Ruth and Joe because nobody's heard from them. And who shows up?
Ruth showed up
at the Martins with Tad and Dixie.
And then Joe
showed up at the hospital with Jake and Amanda. And then, of course, Maria was in town. I mean, there was no reason for Maria to be in town, but there she was because Eli Valeri would have come back. And you know what? I don't care that there was no explanation. I was just glad to see my Maria Santos back.
I do.
That's because you don't like her.
No, it's not that I don't like her. I actually adore her. I think she's a beautiful human
being. They did have a little explanation. Jake said that he called her in for a consult. Now, why you would call a doctor from the West Coast to come all the way to Pine Valley to consult is beyond me, but I bought it. But the big return...
She's a beautiful human being. But it felt like just a way to stick Sarah Michelle Gellar and Eva LaRue in. And
Is that really how she pronounces her name? Gellar?
Geller?
No, I saw her on Chelsea Lately this week, and Chelsea was calling her Gellar, making fun of it. And, like, I think that's what she really pronounces it.
I thought that's how you pronounce it.
Girl, it's not Sade, it's Sade. It's not Joali, it's Jolie. It's not Gellar, it's Geller.
Hey.
That's very old school. Anyway, look, I didn't give a damn. I thought it was great. I thought the whole bit with Sarah Michelle Gellar was hysterical. The fact that she was claiming to be Erica's daughter, and of course the fact that she was seeing vampires everywhere. And then Eva LaRue's like,
I didn't need it.
A lot of people lately have been seeing vampires. And Sarah Michelle Gellar was just like, but I was the first. I loved it. I'm sorry. I loved it.
I would gladly take more montage and more classic stuff.
I thought it was brilliant. I loved it.
Whatever.
I loved it.
Whatever.
Loved it.
I didn't need it.
Sarah, you look fabulous. Eva, you look great.
You got to get on the blog and start talking about Ringer.
Look, I got to tell you, the reason that I loved it is because these people are names now. Eva is on CSI Miami. Sarah Michelle Gellar played Buffy, and she's on Ringer, which is a hit for the CW right now. They didn't need to come back, Ashley. They wanted to come back.
I get it.
Because did you not see when Eva LaRue was talking about All My Children and how much it meant for her?
On The View, she was talking
about
it. Yes. Yeah, she met her husband, like, she had her daughter.
Yo, so the fact that they want to come back, that they want just to be on for a moment and pay tribute.
She wanted to come back again.
Yes, she did. I loved it.
Fine.
So anyway, everybody goes over to Tad's house. All the Martin stuff. And then Tad and Dixie break away.
She got that little puppy.
Oh my God! He's so cute!
This young girl is walking around and she's just holding. She's so high. She's that pretty young girl. She got beautiful hair.
She's beautiful, long, curly hair.
She's walking around with this little cute little puppy. It looks like a stuffed animal puppy.
I know. It doesn't look real. They're like that.
And everyone keeps looking
when they
at the
look
puppy.
Like that. When they look like that, I wish I had a puppy.
I know. It's
I don't like dogs. I don't like big things.
Gucci's sweet. Gucci's 12.
God, I haven't seen Gucci in forever.
Crazy, right?
Well, I haven't seen your Wonder Twins in forever either.
That you haven't seen in forever. Oh my God.
They must be so huge now.
They're so big.
All right. So wait. So Tad and Dixie break away from all the, you know,
brouhaha, festivity
and brouhaha, and Dixie tries to propose to Tad, who Tad gets on his knees and then can't get up because he's getting old. And I just thought the scenes were just so well written. It was so believable because, you know what? They're not kids anymore. They've been through everything. You know what I mean?
I don't agree.
And You didn't like their scenes?
I liked the scenes fine. But what I wanted was, after all this time, for me, it was a serious reunion. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't explain it. Like, I wanted to see, like, they're so self-conscious about being old. I don't give a shit. I'm not thinking, I'm not looking at them thinking you're old. I felt like the whole storyline, ever since she's been back, has been one crack after another about how old they are, chubby or this or that. You know, even the love scene, I told you, the making love scene was unsatisfactory for me because it was cutesy. I really wanted to see. I think that their love is beautiful and deep and ageless. And I kind of didn't, I wouldn't have minded seeing more serious moments between them, more deep, connected, serious moments between them. That's how I feel. I feel they were self-conscious about it. Why are you looking at me like that?
I disagree. I don't feel that they were self-conscious at all. I don't think they're chatted.
You don't disagree or you disagree?
I disagree. I don't think that they were self-conscious at all because I don't think that Tad and Dixie have ever been smoking hot. They've never been Tad and Liza.
I'm going to show you the porno clip.
They were always...
There's a making love scene in the 90s that they did was Tad and Dixie's porno scene.
Like, I'm going to be honest with you, girl. Smoking I love me hot. Some Tad and Dixie, but Katie McLean's not like the sexy kind of...
I'm not asking for, like, Greenlee and Leo. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a deep connectedness. All right. That they sort of avoided a little bit by joking in a lot of moments more
I liked it. I liked it. I liked the whole proposal. I liked the fact that the whole family overheard the proposal because he accidentally, you know...
I didn't dislike it. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying I felt all the like references to being old or not being able to get up or this or that. I didn't need it because I think of them as forever.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, in the midst of all this, Dixie also had told JR that she suspected that David may have Babe alive.
Right.
And of course, JR went off the deep end with that. He just accused, you know, Dixie of lying and trying to keep him there. And then, all of a sudden, Alexa Havens comes walking through the door.
He's in his home in the Chandler. He's massaging this gun, this 6-bullet gun.
Yeah, he's massaging this gun the way I would massage...
Yes.
Larry Law.
Ixnay
on the Ennis Pay.
Oh, no.
So anyway, I lost my trip. The thought of doing that to Larry Law. All right, anyway.
So he's thinking about what he's going to do. He's getting angrier and angrier. And all of a sudden, a very quiet, very emotional Babe walks through the door.
And I got to tell you, Jacob Young... All the years that you've been in Old Mitchell, and you've had some good moments, but you've had some really phoned-in moments.
Dog moments.
I gotta give you props.
This was not one of them.
You gave an Emmy Award-winning performance.
Both of them did.
She's so amazing.
Connected to him.
She was so good. Look, no matter what garbage they wrote for her, I never disliked her as an actress.
No matter what Osama Babe Laden did.
The actress I always liked. I may not have liked the storylines and the material, but her as an actress I've always, always loved. But Jacob Young has always had some really good moments, some really bad moments. But, dude, you are so on point. Like, I mean, I felt his pain, especially when they were having this discussion and she finally admitted, I'm your imagination. I'm not real. I can't touch it because I'm not here. And then she's like, but you know that you can't be doing this and blah, 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 blah. And he goes, you know what?
No, I'm going to do it.
Go ahead.
She says to him, JR, you can't do this. I need you to listen to me. And he says, why should I listen to you? And she says, why shouldn't you listen to me? And he says, because you're dead!
He lost it. Jacob Young was, you don't understand, and this to me the biggest compliment I can give
too.
You.
She was so beautiful in that,
that
scene.
That moment for Jacob Young,
loving him.
That moment
crying.
For Jacob Young was. It reminded me of watching Leonardo and Kate in Revolutionary Road. I don't know where he went, because it's so as an actor, you knocked it out of the park. Yeah, as an actor, you have to go somewhere deep. To be able to portray that kind of angst, that kind of loss and hurt. And at that moment, dude, I so was there with you.
But,
I believe.
But also that kind of rage.
Yeah.
Because it's too easy to just scream as
yeah.
a director.
No, exactly.
It's not easy to connect to the most angry place
you have to
in
go
you
somewhere
and
inside.
Let it go.
You have to
very
go somewhere
dark
inside.
And
was,
very deep.
He was incredible.
The writing was incredible.
Well, Lorraine.
The scene was so quiet. That's what killed me about it. It was such quiet moments. She didn't have very many lines. She barely mm-hmm. spoke. But it was so powerful between them. I'm just astounded by it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm going to say? I've never been a huge Jacob Young fan. I've never been.
Me either.
I think he's been lazy a lot of his career. A lot of his time at All My Children, he's been lazy.
Girl,
but
his time at General Hospital was...
Well, all I'm going to say is that actually I was disappointed in some of the people around him. Because he was bringing his A game. He was effing dangerous when he was losing it.
Yeah.
He was violating over and over that restraining order. He was walking into Crystal's. He walked into Erica's home. That's a man with no boundaries. And that's a dangerous man. And I didn't feel like anybody, and I'm going to include even Susan Lucci, I don't feel that they were sufficiently scared of him or rattled by him. And I know the actress that plays Marissa was not, or... Let's be fair here. The actress that played Bianca, I don't think they were sufficiently terrified of him.
Especially
they should have been effing terrified.
Especially when he was being so
homophobic. I was terrified of him when I was watching him get in their personal space. I was literally getting nauseous. That's how good he was and how powerful he was.
Yeah.
And he did the right thing because that's where his character had to be to do what he did on Friday.
Especially because he was so homophobic, too. I mean, the comments that were coming on was
ugly.
So full of ugly and hate.
Ugly, hateful comments.
So, like, my child's not going to be raised by no lesbians.
And even, but even darker, like, he said something to Jamie. I don't remember exactly what he said,
very,
but it was
very
ugly.
Ugly. Very ugly.
And even Jamie called him on it.
Yeah.
That's ugly.
So, I got it. And so, yes, we also forgot to mention that Jamie did return. And I got to say...
I forgot that he was going to return. And I loved
I knew he was
going to...
I got to say, I never cared for him, but he's grown as an actor. He was decent. I never liked him. I thought his first... He might have grown on his years and on my children.
He was. He's a sweet guy. He's not rough around the edges. He's not. He's never going to be that guy. He's always going to be the nice guy.
I don't... There was definitely some... He's grown.
He looks gorgeous. Come on.
Not my kind of guy, girl.
He looked gorgeous.
No, I'm not going to say that he's an ugly guy. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that he does not rock my boat. He does not.
He walked into that room with a shaved head.
He does not.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Did he not look like a movie star to you when he walked in the room?
Oh, no.
Can I slap you just once?
No.
Oh, my God.
He does not. Look, girl, I'm just
his
saying, look.
His skin was beautiful. His
girl,
hair was
I'm
all
not,
shaved.
Look, the
it was
man's
like when Josh Duhamel walked in the room. Josh Duhamel looked beautiful.
No, Josh
Duhamel
looked
like a, music, like a movie star.
Josh Duhamel.
No, listen, I'm not saying it was as gorgeous. You know how I feel about Josh Duhamel. I'm just saying he looked like a movie star when he walked in.
No, girl.
Oh, my God.
Girl, look, I can understand how you could get a little moist for him. I can understand that. What I'm saying is he does not.
I did not say that. That's
he does
nasty.
Not arouse me at all. He
oh,
doesn't do anything.
Oh
he doesn't get my
that's
motor
what
running.
I'm asking you. He doesn't have to get your motor running for you to acknowledge that when the man stepped in the room, the room felt a little brighter. That's all I'm saying. He looks like a movie star to me. That's all I'm saying.
That's because the door opened and the sunlight was coming in.
Because I had a spotlight aiming him as he entered. Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so then...
Look, I gave him a compliment. I said his acting got better. What
so
more do you want?
Let's see here. After Babe goes away, the second
JML's
down, and
Babe
he puts up. In the gun. Did we count?
Three bullets
in this six-bullet chamber.
Yep.
I had gotten the impression that someone was going to go in with a machine gun and, like, hose down the place.
Well, because they were comparing it to the Moldavia Dynasty's finale, and everybody who watched that knows that these freaking terrorists in Moldavia, like, shot up the whole freaking wedding party. So that's what I was expecting.
I was expecting that, too.
Now, while all this was going on, Brooke showed up in town. Well, we saw that with Erica.
Brooke showed up.
And she mentioned that Adam something was wrong with Adam. The next day is the Chandler day, and we find out what was wrong with Adam. Mm-hmm. Adam, obviously, as Brooke was mentioning, has never gotten over Stuart's death. And even though he's living with her and they're exploring the world and whatnot, there's still a part of him that is not 100% because he's has never gotten over Stuart's, you know, death. While all this is going on, David had told Griffin to go get the other person.
Oh, right.
And Griffin was doing that.
The other Orpheus Project person.
And Griffin went to David and told David,
"We thought it was Babe. We know it's not.
You need to tell me what you want me to do, you know, because I think we're going to lose the person." And at that point, David, like, literally begged Jesse to, like, let him take care of this because he goes, "We're going to lose this person." So at the end of the episode, they get to the hospital, and the most unbelievable,
he's having a hard time saying it because he's about to cry.
Because you know what, I wanted to believe and I wanted to hope that they would go there, but I didn't know if they would, and I literally was screaming at the TV. I could not believe it. The person that David had saved was Stuart. And to me, thank Lorraine, God, you rectified a wrong. You rectified something that should never have happened to
disgusting
begin with. Julie Crapother should never have allowed
that's
that
why you're a piece of crap, Crapothers.
Chuck Pratt to do that. And when David said, "You can't go, Stuart. You can't keep fighting. I can't lose the heart, the soul of Pine Valley." And it was true. Stuart has become like the heart and soul of Pine Valley. And I'm glad that they wrote that dialogue. I'm glad that David said that. And I'm glad that... And when Adam came in and saw his brother, I was a mess. I lost it. I was yelling at the TV.
David
I could
Canary,
not believe it.
I worship you.
David
so
Canary
amazing
was so brilliant.
So brilliant.
In those two episodes that he was on, he was phenomenal.
Flawless.
So much happened in those episodes. Before we jumped ahead, before he went to discover that Stuart was alive, he had the most incredible scenes with JR.
Mm-hmm.
Not only were him and Jacob Young acting their asses off, Lorraine wrote some incredible dialogue.
Absolutely.
It was some intense, psychological, complex words that were coming out of these their mouths. And the look, Adam trying to help his son the best way that he knows how, and JR still, and when Brooke got involved and she's like, you're not listening to your father does not mean that, JR, he doesn't mean it like that. And then Adam was like, you know what, no, I do mean it, maybe he needs to go.
Yeah.
And it was just so brilliant, and all I could think about, this is the kind of stuff that Agnes would have wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're getting close to the end, I couldn't ask for anything more than to see all my children back to his glory days. To see these characters that I love back. To see them being written so well. I mean, it didn't matter that all we had was Brooke and Adam for two. I'd rather have Brooke and Adam for 2 days with this kind of powerful material than to have Chuck Pratt have them for a month giving them horrible shit to play.
Absolutely.
I mean, this was brilliant, brilliant stuff. It was heartbreaking stuff because you know what it was about? It wasn't about being rich. It wasn't about being poor or tornadoes. It was about a
love
father and a son
love
dealing with their relationship and how complex the relationship is. And that even though they love each other in their own way, they don't know how to connect. And that, my friends, is reality in real life. We
mm-hmm
all have that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's with your parents, whether it's with your siblings, whether it's with your spouse. You know, this is what life is about. It's about getting through and making connections with people and trying to build relationships and trying to get through the hard times as well as the good times. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about life. That's what
mm-hmm
All My Children used to be about. And now, on its way out, that's what it's become again. And I thought it was just brilliantly done. I thought the fact that it was Stuart was amazing. I felt that Lorraine, without us even knowing it, because as much as we were saying, oh, this Orpheus Project, this and that, this whole storyline redeemed the character David Hayward.
Absolutely.
And we didn't even know it was coming. The scenes between him and Angie trying to convince him to do what's right, and for the whole town to just see him in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what he did by saving people like Dixie and Stuart. And it was beautifully done.
But Lorraine never, ever gave up who David was. She didn't make him a saint.
Yeah, she didn't make him a saint.
He will never be a saint.
Because
he's
in his mind,
man.
In his mind, he doesn't see, it's in his mind, the ends justify the means, right? That's the way the saying goes. Right. It's like he doesn't care about how he goes about doing it because in his mind, all that matters is I'm a doctor, I'm saving a life.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that you kept this person hidden from, you know, from Adam for 2 years, letting him, you know what I mean? Because all he could think about is like, I'm doing something good.
Right.
And that, sadly, is the case for a lot of doctors that are surgeons and stuff. It's called a God complex. That's really the term for it. And so it was just beautifully done. I thought it was beautiful, beautiful, beautifully, beautifully done. So now Stuart's alive. We got to see our Jennifer Bass scene.
That was amazing.
When Scott went to tell her, I lost it.
I loved it all. I loved when Scott saw him.
Oh, my God. I loved all the flashbacks on the Chandler day when they showed the Chandlers. It was beautiful watching all those flashbacks.
Oh, my God.
But sadly, they couldn't show any of Adam and Liza because Marcy Walker was Liza. So, again, that Queen Ellis had a very good point.
What was his point?
That Queen Ellis said, it's the end of the show. What difference did it make? Just show the flashbacks, regardless of who was playing the role. And I agree with him. I would have been fine with that.
I agree with them so
far. I would have been fine with that.
Whatever.
We all know that other people play these roles. I mean, yeah. What difference does it make?
Yeah.
So then we get to Friday's episode, the final episode. You want to hang on?
No, you go ahead. You're doing great.
Okay. Friday's episode, obviously we have to speed everything up. So everybody finds out slowly but surely that Stuart's alive. Adam decides to throw a party in less than 12 hours.
I love it.
And everybody shows up to the Chandler mansion.
Dressed to the nines.
It was beautiful. Everybody looked great. Everybody was fabulous. While all this was going on, Erica and Jack finally broke up. Jack finally had it. He has these scenes with Crystal where he's like, after five weddings, 12 proposals, blah, 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 me and Erica are done. And he seems like he is dead serious this time because he wants to get married. And Miss Thing is all like up in her head about being a movie star again.
At 72 years old.
I know. She thinks she's going to be like Joan Crawford playing her daughter's role on the soap opera when she did. It's like, girl, you can't be playing yourself when you were when you were 15. But she's determined. Erica's determined.
It's so funny.
So anyway, so while all that's going on and they're getting ready for this party, JR is running around town with his gun.
Well, he's at the airport.
He's at the airport, and JR and Jamie sees him there, and Jamie realizes that, and Jamie missed his flight and went back to the Chandler man.
That's your friend.
Oh, my God.
With the yellow
pants.
The funny thing is, her kids are dressed real cute. See the little girl's boots? She got these cute little boots on.
Aw. Yeah, but see her mother? That's her future.
That's
anyway, where were we? So Jamie realizes that JR's a loose cannon. He comes back to the party and he tells Brooke and Tad, you know, JR. See, that's the one person that was taking JR as a real threat was Jamie. And he went and he told, and it was so good to see Jamie with Brooke and with Tad. So everybody's getting ready to celebrate. Erica decides, Opal finally breaks through with Erica, and Erica realizes that she needs to go after Jax because she loves Jax. She wants Jax. So she dresses up.
Look more beautiful in the silver sequin gown with a mink stole. Perfection. I want that dress so badly.
She, in total Erica fashion,
cock-blocked.
What's her name? Bobby East Crystal.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Jax was a crystal. And she
still knows. When she enters a room, she knows wipes out any other woman in that room. No other woman exists when she enters a room.
So, and then David shows up wanting money from Adam. I thought that was. See, and that's
what
you go back.
That's what I mean.
He's still David.
They made him smart enough to keep him David.
And Adam gave him the money. Because, hey, you gave him your brother back. Yeah. And you gave him your sanity. And what I told Ashley that I love was the fact that, because for those of you obviously who didn't realize, by this time, everything happened. Jax and Erica officially broke up, but not after a really very well-written scene, I thought.
She basically tells him, she says, Jack, I have the perfect idea. You'll come to California with me while I work and write on the movie. It'll be perfect.
And that's what he said, for you, not for me. And he's like,
he's like, face it, Erica. You don't want to be married to me. And she's like, Yes, Jack, that's it. I don't want to be married right now. I don't want to be held down. I still have so much to do. I mean, the woman is 85 years old.
She's not 85.
Come on now. She can't settle down now?
Nope. That's our Erica Kane.
He's like, well, that's the first honest thing you've said.
In the 30 years that I've known you.
In the 87 years I've known you. Goodbye, Erica, and good luck with your movie.
Yes, and I'm sorry. I love those scenes. I thought it was real. I thought it was real.
Yes, Erica. He runs out. She runs out after him. And she says, but Jack. And she says, Jack. And Opal says, you're ruining it. You're going to lose that man for good. Or something like that, right?
Yeah.
What does she say?
Yeah, yeah. You got it. You got it. Just like that.
You're going to lose him. You're driving him away. She says, but Jack, don't leave. Jack, I need you. And he says, frankly, Erica, I don't give a damn what you need.
Yes.
And it was the
it
best.
It was classic.
It was the best.
I'm sorry. I loved it.
And they
it.
Made him
I
look like
it.
Rhett Butler as Rhett Butler.
Yes.
It was like a real close-up it as Rhett Butler was leaving the mansion.
And then while all that was
Walt
going
Williams
on.
Done good.
While all that was going on, JR was doing a David Hayward creeping in those mysterious back. Secret passages in Tanner Mansion, and he was aiming his gun
at everybody.
And he was so drunk off his ass he didn't know who the hell he was trying to aim at, and they show him aim at a couple of different people. He finally decided to aim on the lesbians, and as Erica decides all of a sudden to run after Jax, the bullet went out and it went to black. And I know that not everybody, because you know you can't please everybody, and I'm sure that a lot of people did not like that ending. I was expecting a lot worse, but I should have known that with my faith in Lorraine would have given me... And I'm going to tell you what I told Ashley. I felt like All My Children really did. By doing it this way, they went out the way so many of my favorite TV shows left, like Angel that I was telling about last time.
Mm-hmm.
They left in a blaze of glory. They didn't go out in a whimper. It wasn't, to me, a big cliffhanger where... Because in my mind, I can imagine a very various scenarios. Gerald was so drunk, he might not have hit anybody,
mm-hmm.
you know? But that's not the point. The point was that this thriving community was still moving forward, you know?
The show was a show in its own right.
Yeah.
It was an episode in its own right. It wasn't just montages. It wasn't just sentimentality. It was an episode that left you on the edge of your seat. This is the first time in such a long time I remember, this whole week, that I couldn't wait for the commercial breaks to be over. I was just like so anxiously anticipating what happened after each commercial break. It was just so compelling.
Yeah, it just I mean I'll tell you, Guiding Light was okay of an ending. I didn't dislike it. I hated As the World Turns ending. I hated the Loving's ending. I loved Ryan's Hope's ending. But one of my favorite soap opera's ending was Edge of Night, because Edge of Night ended in true Edge of Night fashion. And for me, I felt like the way All My Children ended was the way Aggie would have ended it. I really do.
Thought
I
it was
feel.
Great. We thought it was
I just.
Great.
I just feel like because it was so true to life.
We were all tweeting during it, and I think everybody else that was tweeting was loving it.
I was blown away by it. If anything, it makes you realize that this show still should have stayed on the air. It still had life in it. It just needed a freaking head writer who cared. The way Ron cares about One Line to
no,
Love.
No, it also needed, you know what it needed? It needed JR to shoot Julie Hanna-Crap Brothers and Brian Fry.
That's what we should have shot.
And I
also was telling Ashley.
Maybe he was so drunk he slipped and the gun went off in Julie Hanna-Crap Brothers' direction.
I was also telling you, too, that I felt that it was so great that Stuart and Marion were still in the hospital.
They were still in the hospital
because
safe from
we know
carnage.
That that's at least one person who wasn't shot.
Again,
exactly. So for me, I give All My Children
five
stars for their finale and for their last week.
Me too.
I loved it.
You okay?
No, I'm not okay.
He's
I'm
not.
Really not okay.
He's really not.
I mean,
really not.
Come January, it's going to be sad to say One Night to Live go. It really is. I've grown to care about the Mannings and the Lords and whatever. But like I was telling Ashley, All My Children is my last soap. It's my last soap that I grew up with, that I was connected with. Because
he doesn't have
honestly,
a connection to One Life
I don't
that
have that
does.
Kind of connection to One Life to Live the way I did with All My Children in Another World and Guiding Light and Edge of Night. I just don't. All My Children has always been about family, which is something that Guiding Light and Another World has been too.
Yeah.
One Night to Live has always been about quirky people. It's only been in the last, like, decade or so that they've been really building these families. So, I'm not going to feel the way that I feel about All My Children when One Night to Live goes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's sad. It's sad for me. It really is. What can I say?
We watched The View hoping, after, right?
I decided to watch The View after. I just was too afraid that something might be slipping through the, you know, in The View that might ruin. I didn't want that. I got to tell you, and I was telling Ashley this too, I was a little bit disappointed with The View.
I wasn't. I liked it. But I hear what you're saying.
But this is my main thing.
You were disappointed because you felt like Susan should have been a real co-host and had said it more.
Yeah. And I also felt that they didn't really talk about the history. But this is my problem. These are the reasons that I don't watch these talk shows anymore anyways, because they're all fluff. They all act stupid and talk nonsense. These hosts, they host something, and instead of getting...
I didn't have that experience.
Getting some kind of clear idea of what this is about, you got people that are talking out of their ass. Like, that, I hate that girl to begin with. What is her name? That blonde?
Hasselbeck.
She's an idiot. She obviously has never seen a soap opera or watched All My Children. So why are you having her on this segment at all?
I don't know that that's true.
No, I just, you know what? I remember the days of Donahue. I still think those days are long gone. I know people love Oprah. Oprah's no Phil Donahue as far as I'm concerned. I used to live for Mr. Phil Donahue. Mr. Phil Donahue's show, I used to
love that show. I remember it too.
I mean, he didn't matter what the subject matter was. When he interviewed somebody or people, he knew what he was talking about.
But The View had everybody in the audience was All My Children fans.
Yeah.
Diehard fans.
But then why not let some of the... Why not have a segment where the audience is asking questions?
I think it's such a big subject to cover in such a short amount of time. I actually give them credit. I saw a lot of stuff that I was happy to see.
Look,
I saw Greg and Jenny reunite.
Well,
I saw Angie and Jesse.
Even
heard their stories.
Even if it would have just been 5 minutes talking about the impact that All My Children... See, that's the thing I'm talking about. Instead of them asking Susan Lucci stupid questions about, like, oh, how have you and Erica impact? I'm sorry, look, I love me some Susan Lucci. But Susan Lucci and Erica Kane didn't do no fashion impact. Joan Collins on Dynasty and the Dynasty cast, that was a fashion impact in the
80s. Fine.
But what I'm saying is, like, talk about the fact that All My Children had the first abortion. Talk about the fact that All My Children, Mary Fickett was the first person on daytime to win an Emmy. Talk about the fact that it was the storyline where her character was speaking out about the Vietnam War.
I thought they mentioned all that.
No, they did not mention any of that. That's what I'm saying. I wanted that. The one thing I will give them props, the one thing they did, and that's the other thing, I could have done without the segment with Ryan Greenlee and Kendall. I didn't want to see them. Though I did think it was funny how Cameron mentioned that he signed on immediately to Park Avenue Productions.
It seemed awkward. Prospect Park!
Listen, and he, like, it seemed very awkward because Susan gave him a look, and then he just kind of, like, and, like, got low about it. And nobody in The View mentioned it. Nobody, like, oh, you are going online? Like, they just did not talk about it. It was almost like he realized, oh, I shouldn't be saying this because this is still an ABC program,
well,
The View.
My most telling moment was when they showed the cast the rap party for the last show from the cast.
Yeah, tell them what you thought.
I'll tell them what I know. I happen to know that this cast are no dummies. They have hated Julie Hannon Craft Brothers for a long time, universally. They know what she has done to their show. They know the decisions that she has had a hand in that have helped bring down this show. They know the shitty writers that she has hired. They know the directives that she has taken without challenging to Brian Franz. They know that she has come in over budget. They know that she has approved shitty storylines. She's a shit producer. She sucks. And they know it, and they have wanted her out for years. I know that for a fact. We know that for a fact. So when she had, when she got the opportunity to make a speech at the last rap party, people weren't looking at her admiringly. People weren't looking at her as a leader. They were looking at the floor. Every single one of them. And that's not because they were sad or whatever. It's because everything that comes out of this woman's mouth is bullshit. She's a piece of shit, and it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I
get so mad talking about her. I really hate her.
I really despise her, too. I'm hoping that Frank Valenti fires her ass.
Because Frank Valenti...
He's not like that. He ain't going to put up with her
Valentini?
Shit. Oh, whatever. My future ex-husband.
Oh, my God.
My boss I'm going to sleep with.
He had the same boss as Crap Brothers. So if you're going to tell me, Julie Hannon, bitch Crap Brothers, that it's all your boss's fault, then why is your associate over at One Life to Live doing a bang-up job
there
and
you
suck the suckiness out of suck?
There you go. Look, the only thing that I really enjoyed in The View was the fact that we got to see Lawrence Law and Kim Delaney reunited. I thought they looked incredibly great for their age. I thought they both looked good.
I thought they looked good, and then
Darnell and Debbie,
Come out looking like 30 years younger.
Well, girl, black don't crack.
That's
that.
It's true. But
according to this People, she bought me the Collector Special People Celebrates All My Children. And according to this, the kid who played Reggie,
Michael B. Jordan,
is 39.
Is that possible?
Now,
people?
Girl, I know black don't crack, but come on
That's
insane.
That would mean he was playing Reggie when he was like 35.
I know. I think that must have been a typo. I think
it
must have been a typo. I mean, but
does
anybody.
29, right?
I mean, it has to be. Maybe I'd buy 29, but 39, girl? Come on. Come on.
Insane.
What is he, Susan Lucci?
But it was great. It was great to see because they told stories about what it was
see,
like to be Greg
segment,
and Jenny.
See, that was the
Angie
best segment.
Jesse.
That was the best segment because they really had.
And they showed them in those prom dresses.
Oh, my God.
Kim Delaney still looked good. She was the only one.
Let me tell you something. To see the four of them reunited,
they have a love for each other, all of them, right?
Yeah.
A genuine love for each other.
And the thing is that, honestly, I think that if there is one time period in All My Children, I think All My Children hit their greatest thing in the early
80s.
There was a magic. I mean, not to say that there weren't some good moments after that,
but that was the high point.
The high point of All My Children was definitely the Greg and Jenny era with Jesse and Angie and the early 80s.
They were such major stars.
Like,
they couldn't even go out.
I know. It was just, you know, the show was just perfect. The cast was perfect. Those characters were perfect. And I love Lawrence Law. I want to marry him. I really do.
But even, I hate to be gorgeous. I know.
He's still my
Greg. But even the characters around those characters were brilliant.
Yeah.
Marion was brilliant. Opal was brilliant.
Alfred.
Greg's mother, Alfred, was brilliant.
Oh, Bill, too many Alfreds.
Absolutely. You know, even Greg's mother.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Edith Nelson.
It was really phenomenal.
I gotta say, I did like that segment of The View. It was good. So basically, All My Children is done with for now.
We got 10 minutes, babe.
Until we do, until online happens.
January.
So we're gonna. I mean, they seem to be going full steam ahead, saying that both of them.
It's called the Online Network. I think is what they're calling it.
Yes, that's the new name for it.
The Online Network.
Jamie Gidham says that he's not too fond of the title. I agree with him. I think it's kind of.
Shadow likes it because it's dumbed down a bit, and I agree with that.
Look, they seem to be now saying full steam ahead that both shows will be ready come January. I actually doesn't believe it. I actually have a little bit more faith now that Frank Valentini is in charge.
They might have to. So I hope I'm wrong.
And if Frank Valentini hires me, I'll make sure it happens.
Well, you need to get your resume out to the prospect party.
I need our listeners, our 5 listeners, to come and help me.
Oh, my God.
Who's listening now? Shadow, Elise.
Come on.
Terry and Susan.
We have a lot of beautiful listeners.
I feel like we lost so many people.
I still have a few emails that I have to respond to from people who have sent letters to us.
We've lost so many people, though.
Time out. I'm not going to go there. That's ridiculous.
We lost WMBD.
Come on. Stop it.
We lost Dominicana.
I ain't going there. We have too many beautiful listeners to be talking about non-listeners. And for all y'all who wrote beautiful emails and sent beautiful communications, I am in the process of writing you back. I promise.
Oh, girl.
We've had people who in 6 years have never written in that have written to the show.
I know.
To thank us. It's amazing.
It still doesn't seem real to me. It really doesn't. I put down that I was blue last week, and everybody thought something else was going on in my program. I was like, no, I'm just blue because all my children's gone.
Yeah.
That's why I was blue.
That's it.
All right. So, real quickly, One Night to Live has really upped their game. I guess they figure we got to give those All My Children viewers something good to cheer them up. Because One Night to Live has been, like, ultra hot this week. I mean, the whole Manning situation has been out of control. Big props to Barbara Rose because her Irene Manny is psychotic. I mean, I was the first one who was like, why didn't they get a daytime diva? And Ashley thinks it's a little one note.
A little two-dimensional.
Which I can understand what Ashley's saying right now. I just feel like the character is filling a vacuum with Dorian gone, Vicky meets somebody. And that's the mistake that All My Children always did with Erica, was Erica's her best when she has somebody to fight opposite.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether it's Brooke, whether it's Natalie, whether it's Mary Smythe, Erica needs that female.
It was so great, not to change the subject, it was so great seeing Adam Chandler propose to Brooke. I just
loved it.
Oh
my God, I lost it.
And her response, like a little girl, it was so perfect. It was so perfect.
So the scenes on Monday between Irene and Vicky and the use of history, and Irene trying to, when she was like, well, I left Tina with you because Tina was a handful. She needed more attention than I could give her.
She kept saying,
I was like,
Tina was a handful.
She was like, mommy dearest.
Tina was a handful.
She was psychotic.
Did I mention Tina was a handful?
It was just that. And then I did not know, and I, because the days have become like blurs to me with all my depression about All My Children being canceled. I didn't realize that we're at the end of September. I knew Andrew Evans, and I even told you Andrew Evans coming on, and I didn't realize we're already at the end of September. So how surprised was I when Andrew Evans showed up at the reading of Todd's will, well, Victor's will? I lost it. Andrew Evans was fabulous. Tuesday's episode, one I delivered, was camptastic. It was so campy, but it was so classic soap. It was fabulous. I love Tina. I love that Tina's back. Andrea, you look fabulous. You're a woman of a certain age, but you look gorgeous, girl. And I am looking forward to seeing these days play out on One Night to Live. I love the scenes between Todd and Taya. I'm sorry. TNT rules. Roger and Florencia are fabulous.
I like Taya and Blair even better.
Yes, Taya and Blair. Well, we can't even get into Taya and Blair. Taya and Blair should be the next lesbian couple. I'm sorry. These two women play so well off each other. It is. I love when Cassie gave her that dress and she goes, wear this one. And she goes, why? And she goes, because it makes your ass look good and I hate you in it. I was on the floor. That's like me and that Queen Alice. We're evil like that. I live for those two. I live. Miss Kelly, I think that's how you pronounce the last name, who plays Danny, has been out of control lately. She is just flooring
She's
me
amazing.
To no
amazing.
End. This is one powerhouse little young actress. She held her own. Her scenes with Roger Howarth last week were phenomenal. Her scenes with her mother last week were incredible. And I love the scenes with her and her uncle. That's the thing that One Night to Live. I love the fact that these people have these scenes with other characters. Remember how when we used to complain about All My Children that it seemed like only certain characters would interact with each other? Like, we felt like everybody was living in a different town.
Yeah.
This was during the Megan McTavish's final reign. Like, that never happens on One Night to Live. Characters cross each other's paths for whatever reason. Remember when you liked the fact that Marty ran into the hoes up there on the mountain? Like, that's what I'm talking about. Or recently when Roxy was talking to Danny's boyfriend, the younger Ford, for no reason, Roxy's giving him advice at the diner. I'm like, that's crazy stuff, but you get to really get some real character-driven moments when you do stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I love the scenes that are going on. General Hospital. Swirl, girl. It's all about the swirl. I'm sorry. Sean and Carly are hot beyond belief. But what was even hotter was Steve and Olivia having sex in the hospital. That is the General Hospital that I remember from the 1980s, girl.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you, I'm sorry. These two are people of a certain age. They're not kids. They're not teenagers. They're not even in their 20s. These are adults, and these are the way that adults have sex. It's sexy. You who is always complaining
about the slut, let me tell you, your
slutometric would break down if it saw the scene that I saw with Steve and Olivia in the hospital. You don't understand.
2000.
This scene was so hot, I had to go take a cold shower the minute it was done. He came on to her in the hospital, in the locker room stuff, and she's like, "Well, what is somebody?" He goes, "We're in the middle of a shift. We got time." And she's like, "But what if somebody walks in?" He goes, "Then we'll be in a lot of trouble." And he dragged her, and then they show them in the shower stall. Oh, girl, it was hot. I was a mess. I was like, ooh, those two drive me crazy. Give them more airtime, people. And also, a mystery at Windermere Mansion. Somebody has snuck into Windermere Mansion and wrote Laura's name under her portrait in the dust, and then 2 days later slashed the portrait. I am praying that you're not kidding with me, Garen. I hope that it's you trying to...
bring her back.
I hope that it's you doing what Ron did, wish fulfillment, put it out there. You want this person back. Because, Jeannie, you need to leave Genoa City and come home. He will write Laura strong. He will write... I know she might be leaving. They haven't officially announced it, but it looks like they're fired. It looks like she's going to get fired, too.
All right.
I mean...
Good.
All right. So, all right. So, we got to go because she has to get home to the kids.
To the babies.
Nighttime shows, watch Ringer with Sarah Michelle Gellar. If you love film noir, if you love those old 40 movies, watch it. Heart of Dixie on the CW with Rachel Bilson Monday night. Just saw it. Loved it.
He was raving
so
to me about the show.
Recommend Heart of Dixie. If you like romantic comedies, Heart of Dixie is for you. Rachel Bilson is comedic, just brilliant. Her comedies, but she's so loved her. Supernatural, not the show Supernatural, but if those of you who are into like Supernatural theme thing, The Secret Circle on Thursday nights. Love it.
I'm
sorry.
I don't know these shows.
These three shows on the CW, I feel like I'm watching the WB all over again in the late 90s. I have not watched as many shows on the CW or WB in a long time.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, love it. It's very compelling. I'm enjoying it very much. Just waiting to see what happens to the guy. He kills himself. You heard about that, right?
Yeah.
One of the husbands.
I briefly heard about that. I try not to be. The minute I realize that it's about that show, I'm like, all right, forget about it.
Dancing with the Stars, support J.R. Martinez.
Support J.R. Martinez, even though I am not watching it, I do support him.
Absolutely. What else am I watching these days? I'm watching The Long Island Medium.
What is it with you with these reality? Why are you watching so many reality shows?
I love this show.
Really?
I love it.
What is it called?
The Long Island Medium.
It's about a medium?
It's
medium?
About
like
a real medium.
Oh, girl, you should have told me that. I like stuff like that. It's a woman?
It's actually really, really
is it a woman?
Oh, yes, it's a woman.
No, because I don't like that man. What's his name?
Long Island like Yenta. She's amazing.
Ooh,
she's
where is it? Can you tell me when it is? I'll check that out.
Chelsea? Sundays.
That I'll check out because I like that. I like, you know me. I love my supernatural stuff.
What
I like stuff
am
like
I
that.
Watching? I can't, what the hell?
The Long Island, is she Jersey-ish?
No, she's Long Island.
But is she like
totally.
Like really
nails,
Long Island?
The nail?
And the voice?
The voice.
Girl, I'm there. I love shit like that. I love epic stuff like that. That's my kind of shit. You should have told me about
what
this.
What am I watching? I'm watching Thomas the Train. I'm watching the new season of Sesame Street. Cat in the Hat. Kids are liking Cat in the Hat for some reason.
Girl, I saw Pan Am.
Heard it was terrible.
Girl, it was such a hot mess. Like, the problem with Pan Am, and I said this on Facebook, and if I'm going to try to get on the blog tonight so I can write about it. Pan Am wants to be too many different shows.
Yeah,
it wants to be stylized like the Mad Men, but then it wants to be Alias from a few years ago with Jennifer Garner, because one of the free... Spoiler alert, if you even care. One of the stewardesses is a spy for the United States government during the Cold War.
Why does this have to be so stupid?
Like, make it one or the other. You can't have all of that. You can't have all of that, girl. It's too much.
Is it that, like, woman with the accent?
No. Oh, my gosh. She's so...
Whatever accent that is.
That's supposed to be French.
Oh, you're kidding me.
And then, I gotta tell you, the women are not that hot. There's supposed to be these hot stewardesses from the Pan Am era. It's like, all you're showing is none of these women are hot. Not like, what's her name from Mad Men, Christina Hendricks, who plays Joan.
That's why
I was about to see them all be like that. Look, there obviously was something because I watched the entire episode. I didn't, like, turn it off. But I think I might have found a show that's even worse than The Chew. And that's not saying much because, first of all, I didn't even see The Chew. I refused to even tune in for a second. I refused to in any way support it. I wanted to so I could see how bad it was. Because I read a lot of people have been saying that it's horrible. Even the paper reviewed it. The Daily News reviewed it.
They said the Chew was horrible.
The Chew was a little hard to swallow. But I went on demand and I saw the first 10 minutes of Charlie's Angels.
Oh.
I could not get through it. I'm going to say this. The reviews were way too kind.
Thank you.
It was a travesty. Aaron Spelling Farrah Fawcett are spitting in their graves. Drew Barrymore, what the fuck were you thinking?
She's got no brain. She ain't
what
that smart.
What is wrong with
no,
you?
But when has anybody, is anybody ever going to figure out that she ain't that smart?
No, I liked the Charlie's Angels movies. I liked when she produced Never Been Kissed and Ever After. But this crap, did you even see it?
I can't watch
First
it.
First of all, she got three actresses
that can't watch it.
They
it's
can't
unwatchable
act.
To me.
I mean, it was just, I couldn't get past, I didn't even get to see Minka Kelly, because I could not get past the first 10 minutes.
I don't even know who that is, and I don't care to know who that is.
It
I
was
think it's just a bunch of
awful.
People.
The dialogue was awful.
I'm
the
glad.
Acting
I'm
was
glad.
Awful.
And you know why I'm glad?
Why?
Because it's a network that is so in love with its own ideas,
yeah,
and a hot little starlet producing it, and they'll just let her do whatever she wants, it'll be great, and blah, blah, blah.
But see, but you know what?
Focus grouping,
you know,
and hot
think...
ladies, and this. It's all pandering. This show was pandering, and that's why it failed, because there's nothing to it.
And you know why they did it?
Oh, viewers, you may never know why they did it. Miss Ashley bloopered again. I lost part of my file. 6 minutes of this penultimate, whatever that means, it just sounds good, episode of the Pie Valley podcast. I save and I save and I resave and I make duplicates. And apparently I didn't duplicate enough because my file got corrupted when the extra file that I deleted wasn't around no more. I'm pissed. But your man, Jordan Hudson, and mine made me feel a lot better. He said, Ashley, it's only 6 minutes at the end of the show. And what were we talking about anyway? Charlie's Angels, it don't matter. And he's right. So I'm going to wrap up this very long podcast by saying that we were so happy and so grateful that you allowed us into your homes, into your iPods, into your iPads, into your computers, into your car stereos. We're so glad that you have time and time again tuned in and listened to us humble Puerto Ricans here at the Pine Valley Podcast. We would like to thank Shadow, our beloved co-host, who's always so amazing and does such an amazing job with the blog and keeps our viewers and listeners and bloggers tuned in, humming, running. He's amazing and he's hysterically funny, so don't let anybody kid you. He's the funniest one of all of us. We would like to thank Luis, who's also incredibly funny and incredibly astute, for his clever, emotional, funny, touching openings that he's done for us since almost a long time. Maybe not the very beginning, but for a very long time. We appreciate it. You should definitely go check out daytimeconfidential.com. They have what's going on. Lots of developments right now, people. Every day something is happening in the world of soaps. Not all of it good, but at least we should know about it, and they keep us in the know. Jordan also loves We Love Soap, as do I. WeLoveSoaps.net, so you should definitely go visit them. And I would also like to make a special thank you this week as All My Children ends its 41-year run and say thank you to Taylor Crawford, one of the original hosts of the Pine Valley Podcast. Taylor, you truly, truly shaped what this podcast has become. It's become a lot of fun for me and Jordan, and the reason why is because you were there making the funny out of what was sometimes really silly, sometimes really touching, sometimes really zany, but we always had such a great time, me and you, Taylor, and I think the viewers really loved it too. And I know that you are probably very disappointed as well about the end of All My Children, so we just wanted to give a little shout out to you this week and thank you again for all the hilarity and hijinks that you spawned here on the Pine Valley Podcast. Much love, brother. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
Ooh, that was bad. And here's a little special something just for you.
Hello, Ashley and listeners of the Pine Valley Podcast. This is Taylor Crawford. I'm calling you. I'm not calling. I'm sending this message from an internet cafe out in the backwoods of Iowa. I'm taking care of my Nana, who's turned kind of feisty in her old age. And she's also got an irritable bowel thing, which makes her quite a handful. So I gotta send my messages, do all my internet activities downtown in the local. They have a computer place above a cafe. It's called the Buzz Inn, something like that. So it's got Buzz in the name. Anyway, I miss the Pine Valley podcast during these tumultuous times so much. I wish I could have been there for the last episode. I still can't break it to my Nana. We got these VHSs still from earlier in the decade, actually, and some from the 90s, too, and Tad looked good back then. But I keep flopping out these VHSs and showing Nana because she gets confused real easy, and I just can't break it to her that the show's going to be over unless they do web series or something. But, you know, I don't think I'm going to take my Nana down here to this Buzz Cafe because she gets real riled up, and that IBS of hers can be problematical. So right now I showed her one with Josh hanging on a hook when JR and Jamie hung him on a hook because they were mad about Babe and stuff like that. Those were good times. And then we're showing a Zarf one tomorrow. I told her Zarf came back because she really liked her. I don't think she fully understands the same actor, so... but she's real excited about that. The beauty of it is Dixie's died and come back so many times, it just kind of doesn't matter, you know? You just pop an old Dixie tape back in, and it's, oh, Dixie's back again. We love Dixie. We love some Dixie, and that Katie McLean. And I still get emails from Katie McLean about our shows all the time and stuff like that. And I just wish that all the actors and actresses that I have so willingly suspended my disbelief over the years, I wish them all the best of luck, you know? I want to see them other shows. Like, remember when Jamie did the Knight Rider show? That was exciting times, right? And you know, Tad was on this after-school special where he was, I was a high school narc or something like that. That was real entertaining. You should check that out if you get a chance, if you, you know, BitTorrent it or something, legally, of course. Don't, you know, of course you want to pay for all this stuff like that. Oh, Ashley, it's so lonely out here. I tell you what. I had some great times doing the podcast in years past, and I remember, oh, we did songs, and we sang, and remember Zach Slater doing the poetry, the brown penny, brown penny, brown penny made me laugh. Oh, God. Brown penny, brown penny, brown penny. Very exciting times. I understand the podcast is going to continue, Aunt Ashley. Jordan, Shadow, everybody who's ever worked on this podcast, best of luck to you. Keep it going as long as you can, because we watch the show so you don't have to. Mwah. Talk to you later, ladies and gents. Bye from Taylor.